Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
Again, we'll read from the book of Galatians chapter 5 to continue what we're saying. We'll talk about the fruit of your life. Now, we've been speaking about that for a while. We began by talking about the purpose of life. Then now we're talking about the fruit of your life. And I said that God expects fruit from our lives. The Lord Jesus told us in the book of Luke chapter 13 that, there was a parable he was teaching there. And he made it clear to us that he expects fruit from our lives. That is, having occupied ground for some time, there should be something that we have to show for it. Very important. And that parable is in the book of Luke chapter 13, verse 6. It says, certain man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and did not find any. And he said, this way I want to emphasize to us again in verse 7, behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground? And that's what I'm talking about, the using up of the ground. That is, God is supplying you breath. He's supplying you heartbeat. He's supplying you food. He's supplying you human relationships. He's supplying you a lot of things. There is a reason for it. In fact, he said to the children of Israel that God is delivering you out of Egypt so that you may enter into the promised land and obey his commandments. That is, the reason for their deliverance was not so that they would just come out and celebrate. God brought them into the promised land so that they would be able to obey his commandments. So God has a right to expect fruit from our lives because he's supplying us with nourishment. Are you getting my point? And now, as I said, there are two sides of the fruit. There is a moral side in which we must add moral excellence to our lives. And secondly, there is another side of the fruit in which we must execute the reason for which we were born. And I began to lay this emphasis, which is so important, that those who are doing the work of God are not only those who are preachers. Those who are doing the work of God are not only those that work in church. And the work of God is not limited to a church assembly. The work of God is not limited to the preaching of the word. I don't have to go and preach to show that I'm serving God. Every bit of my life as a Christian should be serving him. We read from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. He said, he died for all, so that those who live may no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. That is, he did not die for the pastor alone, so that the pastor should no longer live for himself, but for him who died and rose again on his behalf. It's not so. He died for the engineer. He died for the mother. That is, a full-time housewife who's nursing her children. He died for her. Therefore, she should nurse her children as unto the Lord, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for the one who died and rose again on their behalf. Very important. That is, everything you are doing must be unto the Lord. That the service of God is not when you go to church. You know, I say that all the time. People enter church and they bow and they are nice. Listen, God is not there to check. God wants to check how nice you are at work. If you're a student, God wants to check how nice you are in school. The time you are serving God is not when you're a member of the choir. The time you are serving God is when, as a student, you are there in your exam hall and you are writing your exams. You see, how are you going to serve him? Are you going to serve him by cheating from your neighbor? Are you getting what I'm saying? Or you are going to serve him by distributing bullets? You know what they call bullets? All right. That's not what you are going to do. That is not the service of God. You are not serving him properly like that. But if we realize, see, the reason why people kept on doing those things was because they thought that the service of God was elsewhere. So they come to school to come and learn so that they can go and serve God. No, learning is the service of God. You must understand that life is in phases. And in each phase of life, there is a service you must render to God. For example, if you're a child, you're a young person, you're at home, the person you are serving as unto the Lord is your parents. Do you understand my point? The way you greet your parents is a service to God. The way you respect elders is a service to God. You know, I said to children like this, you cannot rush past your father as he's washing and cleaning up his own car and tell him you are rushing for choir practice. Are you getting my point? No, this is God you can see. You're overtaking him to go and serve him somewhere else. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? Because God is there in the body of your father, and you are supposed to give honor to him. The Bible says a son honors his father. You are supposed to. You don't talk to your father rudely. You are not disrespectful, because the service of God starts from there. It's not when you go to church, you go and do all-night prayer. Listen to me, all-night prayer is very important, but it's supposed to enable you to go back home and serve God. If you're a student, the service of God is not only at home, it's in school. If you're a worker,
if this the service of God, if you're a lecturer, you are serving God, teaching students. So you shouldn't be happy that you have delivered my lecture. Whether they like, let them know, let them not know. And then I go to church to go and walk because I think serving God is in church. It doesn't work like that. That's what I'm there to emphasize. God called us. There are different aspects of life. I said last time, the Bible says that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That is, there are different aspects in life. I said to us that a worker does not go to work to go and earn money with which he or she will serve God. That work is the service of God. Now, the way you spend your money is still part of your service to God, but please don't look at your workplace as a place where you go and take out of the world and then use to serve God. No, you go to that workplace and that very work is the service of God. And God, listen, that's one thing I want to talk about today. The excellence of God must be demonstrated in that work. I ended last time by explaining something, that is what is called the righteousness of God. And the Bible says, Jesus was speaking in the book of Matthew chapter 6, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. Let me explain what that means. You see, how do I seek the kingdom of God, you may say. Somebody comes to you and say, how do I seek the kingdom of God? What he was saying is simple. Seek for the establishment of the kingdom of God. But where is the kingdom of God? How do we know it? How do we identify it? It's simple. What you do is that you seek to establish his righteousness. We're back to it. First, in your life. There's a principle you should see. If you go and read the book of Acts chapter 20, Paul was talking to the elders in Ephesus. He said that, take heed unto yourselves. That's the way it is. And then unto the flock that the Holy Spirit, over whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Now, what I'm bringing out here is this. He said there are two sides to it. First, you take heed unto yourself. And then you take heed unto your assignment. Do you hear what I said? First, you are careful. So when we're talking about establishing the kingdom of God, first, it is established in your life. I've talked about that again and again. And then it is established in your work. Now, your work, I've been emphasizing, is not just in church as a Christian. It's in everything that you do. And I said, so how do you do that? What you do is you seek to establish his righteousness. What I mean is that, how do I know the kingdom of God is in me? Because they came to Jesus Christ, and they were accusing him of things. And he said that if I by the kingdom, by the finger of God, I'm casting out demons amongst you, then the kingdom of God has come into your midst. And the same thing he said to Nicodemus. He said, you are seeing all these works, all right, because I am walking. I don't have time to break that down now, John chapter 3. Because I'm walking in the kingdom of God. Please, follow what I'm saying. Is it that a man would just get up and say, no, I want to walk in the kingdom of God? No, this is what he was saying. This is how you walk in the kingdom of God. You establish his righteousness in whatever you are doing. Are you getting my point? I say it like this, that the Bible says that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's Psalm 91. Now, this is what I'm bringing out. That means a man cannot deliberately abide under the shadow, but he can deliberately dwell in the secret places of the Most High. The consequence of dwelling in the secret places of the Most High, the secret place of the Most High, is that God will take his shadow and cover that man. So how does he dwell in the secret place of the Most High? Job said there was a time that the secrets of God were upon my tabernacle. What does that mean? That I was operating by divine principles. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, if I'm a businessman, this is how I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Another expression, New Testament, this is how the righteousness of God is established. I simply make sure that whatever business I do is done according to divine principles. That way, the kingdom of God is established wherever I am. We often try to pray down the kingdom of God. No. He said, this is how I understand the prayer of Jesus that he taught the disciples. He said, pray like this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I think it's one single prayer. That is, the main thing, what brings down his kingdom is the fact that his will is being done. Do you follow the point I'm making? So, The way by which the kingdom of God is established is by my operating in what the Bible calls his righteousness. What is his righteousness? The divine order for executing anything on the earth. That is what is called righteousness. That is why John said, he that doeth righteously. Righteously or righteousness is a doing. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. For example, a man is married. A woman is married. We pray. You know, the other day I was watching TV with my wife. And there was this man and his wife. The wife was sick. They must have been in their 70s or something. Or at least, maybe one of them would be in the late 60s, the other may be in the 70s. And they were hugging each other like this. The woman was supposed to go, about to go for surgery. And everybody watching it, including my wife, was like, old people in love. Oh, this is so nice. This is so nice. This is so nice. You understand my point? And I was reading Zach Poonen the other day, and he said that when you see how much humor is between a man and his wife, it shows you how closely they are relating. So when we see such things, we like it. We want to hear that this man has been married for 45 years to this same woman, and they are still walking on the road, they are still holding hands, and they are still honey and sugar, you know? Is it good? Yes, it's called the kingdom of God. That's what it's called. That's what it's called. When Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, how come you do all these works? Jesus said, that's called the kingdom of God. Now, what am I getting at? But many of the people praying for that are not ready to walk in the righteousness that produces it. That's where I'm going. I see young men behave, young women behave. I say, no matter how much you desire this thing, you can't see it the way you are behaving. Because there is a way that leads to peace. He said, the way of peace they know not. That is, peace has a way. And the duty of everybody is to learn the way of peace. So when he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what he was saying is that there is a righteousness. There's a way of behaving. There's a pattern of doing work on this earth that establishes the kingdom of God wherever it is that you are walking. Last time I began to tell a story, I said I was going to tell two of them to illustrate the point I'm making. I said the first one is the story of Henry Ford. Henry Ford he was a businessman. And in the two lives I want to describe, you'll see that the things both of them did, what was pushing them, let me use my own words now, was the establishment of righteousness. And when I say righteousness again, let me explain. They wanted to establish a new way of doing things. I explained that this was what Henry Ford said at the time. Henry Ford said, the success of this my company, because at the point in time, he was judged one of the richest men in the world in his days. He was one of the richest men in the world. The company was vast. They owned rubber plantations in South America. It was a great company, all right, that we're talking about. These days you see Ford, you know, Ford Explorer, Ford this thing, Lincoln Navigator. Of course, all of them are Ford products. But the story behind that company is what I'm telling you. The company was very great. It shook the whole world. Now, let's put that as the establishment of God's kingdom. But for him to get there, he had to fight people. Not human beings now, but their ideas. He walked out of about two business endeavors in which he had partners before he started on his own. Because he said, these people are not getting my point. And it's his point I'm trying to get us to understand. So because of all this influence, he made a statement. He said, look, the success of this company is not about the machine that bears the name Ford. He said, the machinery or the company is just the opportunity I had to prove to people that my ideas of doing business, all right, those ideas are superior to theirs, that they are wrong and I am right. Are you getting my point? That is, for him to reach where he reached, he had to walk by a particular righteousness. Remember, I'm talking about the fruit of your life. And what God wants is that whatever you are doing, you will tap into divine mind. You will tap into the thoughts and the processes of God for the establishment of work on the earth. And that is how he will judge you at the end of your days that you did well. That's how he will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. I'd like to quickly debunk this thing from the mind of Christians. You cannot pay God off with money so that he will not demand of you to check whether you did the work he called you to do or did not. A lot of errors in the mind of Christians is that these days, they think that whatever you do, just give God an offering. Don't worry. that money answers all things. It can even answer disobedience. That is, if God says, go here, you couldn't go there. You come and say to him, say, God, I know my name is Jonah. You said I should go to Nineveh, but I said to go to Tarshish. But the journey to Tarshish was prosperous. So I have brought you an offering. Take, forgive me for not going to Nineveh. And we think that God will say, okay, because money answers all things, you have used money to go to Nineveh instead of going to Tarshish. Listen to me. You and your money and your journey to Tarshish will perish. No matter how much money you give to God, he doesn't. That's not his primary thing, he's judging. It is, now I give you work to do. Let me give you an example. You, because there are people who are called, and their assignment in life, they are supposed to describe divine character in political office. All right? They went there. What did they do? They defined the sharing character in political office. They took the money and they shared it. Then they now came back to church and said, money answers all things. They now gave God a fat offering. In fact, the pastor is guaranteed that once this brochure comes down from Abuja or whichever state capital is coming from, church will not be the same that day. Listen, you are not helping the man. God is not judging how much money he brought to church. God is saying to him, he was supposed to define divine character in political office. That he was supposed to be a modern day Daniel. That they will seek and check and find no evidence of corruption or negligence in the matters of the king that was in his hand. That's the idea. That yes, people will gang up against him, but we'll see the power of God fighting against those who are ganging up against him. God said, that's what I called him to do. But he has gone there. And they have told him that money answers all things. So, disobey God. Use the Balaam principle. Collect money and prophesy wrongly. Just come back to church and share it. You know, I said something the other time that God is not a mafia don. He's a mafia don that does not care what you do. Just give him his court. God is not like that. All right? God will judge that man and say, listen, this man was supposed to define divine character and governance. Did he do it? The answer is no. Go out into the outer darkness, prepared for the devil and all his angels. I do not know you, you worker of iniquity. That's what God will say. Please, it's very important. Let me get back to what I was saying. You know, I've moved off a bit. Let me just continue talking about my man Henry Ford. So, the man built a business. What was he trying to do? He was explaining that this car business that he was in, a car is not made for the rich. It's not a status symbol. It's a functional object. Therefore, we should try and give to as many people as is possible. That was one of the things he did. So his company was built on that principle, that whatever we are making, we should try and bless many people with it. So he used to drop, now listen, he was the cheapest car manufacturer, but he was still dropping prices. And for him, listen, this year we sold these cars for $1,000. We were able to sell 2,000. The following year now, because of our improvement in manufacturing techniques, we have been able to bring the price down to 800. Now, instead of selling 2,000, we are selling 8,000. To him, now we can bless 8,000 people instead of just 2,000. And he thinks, if we can bring the price further, maybe 20,000 more people will be able to buy. Now, those who are money-minded will say, the man knew how to increase his sales. No, his own problem was not sales as for bringing in more money. His problem was sales as being able to reach more people. Because to him, this is my, I'm using my own words now, this is my divine assignment. Another thing the Lord introduced into the earth through him is the fact that then when people made cars, what they did simply was, listen, you have bought it, you have bought it. It's your problem after that. Henry Ford was the first person to say, no, I stand by my product. I give it to you. For the next 1 year, if it gives any problem, bring it back. I repair it at no cost to you. The concept of warranties. These are you now buy cars. 3 year warranty, 100,000 kilometers. It's not standard with us. It was not like that before him. Are you getting my point? And he said, listen, I know. I can stand by my product. So he began to teach men, you should be able to stand behind your product, that your integrity is tied to the thing you are manufacturing. So if you make an engine, it's always breaking down. You're a breaking down man. Are you getting what I'm explaining? I mean, do you follow the principle? So if you know that your integrity is tied to it, you will do it well. These were the business principles he taught people. And that is what is called his righteousness. Another thing he taught people, as an example, he talked about paying people. The man almost, I think he tripled the wages of the people who were working for him compared to the competitors. He said, why should a man be working and the money is not enough to take care of him? When they say, you are paying too much, he said, I'm not paying, I'm sharing profit. That was his principle. And so he told the workers, you guys work better, we make more money, we all share it. At the end of the day, the man said, listen, why should you be making cars and you can't buy one? Now, if you notice, his own principle, all right, simple was, this thing is a blessing. I was called to bless people. I was not called to come and make money. Are you getting my point? At the end of the day, he became very rich. His children, you see, I learned something. My pastor said those days in Lagos. He said, when God blesses you, the blessing will endure to at least 3 generations. His own has reached the 4th generation. The men are still blessed. Why? Because of a divine principle. When I'm talking to my wife sometimes, I say, listen, these principles are still out there, but many business people are still not tapping into it. They are praying for breakthrough, but there's a righteousness that God has established to somebody who came before them. They should go and learn that righteousness. I thought I was going to tell 2 stories. The second story I'm telling, I've told that one many times. If you listen to me many times before, you'll have heard me talk about it here and there. So I'm going to be brief about it. There's a woman called Mary Kay. She's renowned today. Her name is tied to cosmetics. But the fact is that she didn't come out to sell cosmetics. She said, I wanted to show to people that the way they are doing this business is wrong. Because she had been in the marketing business for a long time and she had retired. And being in retirement, I said, what do I do? She said, let me write a book on how business should be done. People have not done it like that. So she wrote a book on how it should be done. And listen, when she finished, she said, nobody will buy the book. So she decided to go and put the principles into practice so that, now listen to this, so that she will have proof to explain to people that this is the correct thing to do. As a middle-aged woman, she started a company. If I believe the testimony, because the company was not a public company, so we don't know exactly how much it was worth when she was alive. But if I go by the testimonies of some people I heard, they said the woman was worth billions of dollars. At least I know at the time, she was making from one of her investments $100,000 every month. Not the business she was doing, just one of those side investments. But how did it begin? She said, let me establish, I'm getting back to it now, a principle. Let me establish a righteousness. And what am I saying? That is the assignment of God for us. God didn't call us just to go to church, please. Let's get this clear. He didn't just call us to go to church. He's saying, listen, for those of us who are Nigerians, in your country, 99 out of 100 people you meet, they are seeking their own, even though they are in government office. They are corrupt. He said, you go in there. Listen, you will suffer hardship for a while. Listen, to suffer hardship is the will of God sometimes. This is we preach in Christianity as if God does not ever let his children feel pain. People take marriage vows, say for better, for best. For richer, for richest. In health and in stronger bodies. And even death cannot do us part. I've heard Pentecostals take marriage vows and I say, you are joking. It is still for better, for worse. Because there will be worse times and better times. Pastor Bank, you don't have faith. Faith is to read the Bible and believe it. Faith is not to be stubborn. It's not, I'm just stubborn. I'm made up my mind. No, that's not what faith is. That is Ogboju. Faith and Ogboju are 2 different principles. In the scriptures, Paul said, I learned to abound. I learned how to abase. Are you getting my point? It's there. He said, let this mind which was in Christ be also in you. Are you getting my point? He said, he endured the cross, despised the shame. What am I trying to say? In bringing salvation to the earth, sometimes you have to endure the cross and there will be shame attached to it. There is nothing wrong. Listen to this. It will shock a lot of people. To be in government service and retire and you don't have your own house if you have a good name. Christians, you please start hearing the truth. We have preached the gospel of prosperity to the devilish extent. Because the Bible says a good name is better than the houses he has. You know why? What I'm going to explain? God cannot change a society until somebody is willing to take hardship so as to establish his righteousness. Do you get my point? Many of us who are rushing to church, yeah, don't, Papa, well done, sir, well done, sir. And we are rushing around and trying to be, you know, they say, dance unto the Lord. Dance so that God will know you are a good Christian. And you dance, dance, dance. Dancing is easy. Even Michael Jackson used to dance. Are you getting my point? It's true. Dancing in church means not, it does not, listen. I like Christians to know what is real. It does not mean at all that God is serious to you. Listen, you can go to a church. There are churches that people fill the place because the music, now die. It is not the joy of the Lord. It is disco party on Sunday morning. Are you getting my point? You want to know whether you are serious as a Christian. It is when God says, let me have this one. I'm not giving you anything. Go to that office. Don't take one naira bribe. If they give you money for appreciation, say no. It's from this kind of appreciation that wahala they start. And not they take. So your mates are driving cars. You've been in that office for 5 years. You don't have a car yet. They say, yes, all the cars they are driving, it is stolen money. I refuse to steal. I will trek into heaven if necessary. That's faith. Not that, Lucy, God is so important to me. I can give him anything. Any thief can give God any stolen property. All he needs to do is go and steal some more. And that's why God is not impressed. That's why God is not impressed. Because, listen, I have called you to go out and establish my righteousness. For you, that is the work of God. The one I say all the time. Young people say, no, they can't teach. They can't teach. As if teaching is a sin. But what do they mean? The money is not good. And the same people, listen, may we not say things that will make God remove all our teeth. Because the same people will come out and say, educational system is bad. God say, listen, no. You're a Christian. I know you. You are my child. I anointed you and gave you the Holy Spirit. I personally gave you the tongues spoken only by angels that are 7 feet tall. The day you spoke in tongues. So I know you. I anointed you to make sure the educational system is good. So I gave you a job in the secondary school's management board. You refused to take it. Then you come back and say, the schools are bad. The man who I sent to go and repair the place said to me, the place is bad. If it was good, why would I send you? Why did I give you my anointing? Why did I give you tongues spoken only by 7 feet tall angels? And Paul said, there are tongues of men, there are tongues of angels. Why did I do that? Well, was it not simply because I know, all right, that place is tough, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the loss of other things, it has entered in now. It has corrupted the word that I planted into you. Now you are opening your mouth and telling me the place is bad. Why won't it be bad? You know the important emphasis I'm laying? I'm explaining this principle. Alright? That God's work is in more places than we realized. There are women who are having children. At the same time, they are running after money. They are raising the next generation of armed robbers. Like God is saying, I was dead the day they got filled with the Spirit. I gave them sweet tongues. Why? So that they can raise John the Baptist. Are you getting my point? Jesus Christ and people like that for me. No. They think that is not the work of God. That's my emphasis. That people should know the work of God is in many more places than they imagine. And listen, you don't have to be a pastor to be working for God. No. You don't have to be a deacon to be working for God. Those titles are unnecessary. I know people like titles. Most senior evangelist. It doesn't mean you won't go to hell. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, listen, it's no guarantee. Hear ye the word of the Lord. You can bear title and the day they are carrying into hellfire, it is your title they used to call you. Lucifer will say, oh, most superior evangelist, you put your name after, where are you? You won't believe it. And you want to argue with the guy. Hey, did you notice my name? Satan will say, I gave you the name, what's your problem? Come inside. What am I trying to explain? Listen, the work of God is everywhere. The way you are driving is unto the Lord. I need to drive that into the minds of believers. And God called us to establish his righteousness. Are you getting my point? To establish his righteousness.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.